Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Thunderdome Metal Reviews. As we're bringing you back a blast from the past.
Blast has already occurred.
It is. But we are bringing you a grab bag of old school cool with a K. But before we begin, my brother's with me at arms, the Reverend Ben Lindsay, the Murder Basement Gabe Cooper, and the Dr. David Pizzo. How y'all doing tonight, gentlemen?
I'm fucking old, man. No, I'm doing all right.
Samesies, doing all right.
Pain killer. That ain't fun. It's good. That's old school time. Though it's like
wrong album. Wrong album, David.
I know.
Do you accidentally listen to Painkiller? Accidentally.
You mean I finished that Wings essay? I was like, man, I wish there were Painkiller and then listen to Painkiller. That did happen. I was like,
oh, God.
This will be better for a Painkiller. Anyway.
It's already starting.
It's going great. This is like two old school albums or two albums that are wish to be old school. But I guess we'll get into all that. So you picked this. Theme, yep. Right, Tracy?
This is my theme. The old school cool. I was just kind of wanting to kind of dig into say either some of this new wave of traditional metal has kind of been making its way around where you're getting kind of, I don't want to say a throwback in a sense, and also kind of just a cutting down of a lot of the bleepy barpy and just kind of bare bonesing music that is not as common today, like not overproduced. And I wanted you guys to pull out something from the deep in the back catalog, be like, you have to look for this and find it. And I think we've got a lineup across all boards that fits that bill. I think everybody has achieved passing grades and completed this sonnet successfully this go around, unlike previous times with a little squeezing. So yeah, we just into it. Our first album tonight is Judas Priest's Sad Wings of Destiny. Mr. Lindsay, do you have some details for us?
I do. It is their second studio album. It was released on March 23rd of 1976. Recorded in Rockfield Studios in Wales, has a runtime of 39 minutes and 12 seconds, released on Gull. Jeffrey Calvert, Max West, and Judas Priest are listed as the producers. The band at the time of recording, Rob Halford on vocals, KK Downing on guitars, Glenn Tipton on guitars, piano, and organ, Ian Hill on bass, and Alan Moore, no, not that one, on drums.
So I think this is the earliest Priest album I've ever listened to.
Well, it's only the second one, so you can't get much earlier than this.
Well, I mean, I have not a very in-depth review or experience with Judas Priest album, so this was interesting to me because it feels like kind of similar to when we did AC/DC, where you have it's like straddling that line where you kind of see what they become in later albums, but it's also very much heavily sitting in that blues hard rock territory as well, which I think they do a pretty well job of kind of doing that.
It ain't Painkiller, that's for sure. But it's also not, you know, easy listening rock.
Yeah.
It was a weird time in metal. You know, obviously by this point, Sabbath had sort of run its course. Led Zeppelin was done. This is pretty early in the new wave of British heavy metal. So it's sort of a transitional moment in a lot of ways. Yeah, I've only listened to Rock and Roll a couple times, and it's been a while, so I have to confess, most of the Priest I know is from the 80s forward, but this is that. He's definitely playing more with vocals in ways that later he's just like, fuck it, I'm not doing this anymore.
But, yeah, it was very much like Queen in that aspect.
Yes.
And the reason that I chose this is because I, you know, when you said old school cool, I was listening to, I don't know what channel it was, but they had an excerpt from Scott Ian from Anthrax, and he was talking about, he goes, the hot topic amongst me and my friends, and Scott Ian's about a decade older than David and I, was who was the first heavy metal band, and he goes, for me it was always Judas Priest. And he goes, the reason for that is because they introduced the twin guitar attack. If you look at the vocal stylings of Rob Halford, and the evil, his words, that they inject into the music, that sets the stage for everything that comes after. And I think you can see elements of that here, but kind of like what David and Tracy have already said, this is not what we would now consider metal.
That's right.
Yeah, I think you guys are right on the money too. I mean, I definitely felt like some of the songs on this album could have been AC/DC songs. And you know, that's not what I was looking for in listening to a Judas Priest record. Like, I wanted to hear Judas Priest, which, you know, it's in formation. And you know, one thing you can say about this album is that because of all the, you know, vocal experimentation that's going on, or like the different styles that Rob Halford is singing, he does a bang up job. Like, he's just got a beautiful, beautiful voice. Doesn't even matter whether he's like doing the, like the siren, or if he's like actually, you know, trying to sound sweet. He does. Like, it's just really good.
Just to interject here, because I completely, the parts where he harmonizes with himself, where he'll be singing like not baritone register, and then like singing higher above that, were brilliant. I mean, I really thought, was really impressed by that. And that's something that like they do kind of abandon fairly quickly after this. But man, I really was impressed by that.
I mean, I think he's the vocalist of the four tonight, in my opinion.
Clearly.
Yeah.
I think in terms of vocal performance, I think it just, you can't.
It's not even close. No, it's not even close. But yeah, I mean, like, he goes from moments of very Doors-esque to like what you get with traditional Halford vocals of like the air rates aren't, to this almost Creedence sound, to just a little bit in between, like everything in between. Like, he hits a lot of different levels, and his vocal that's similar to, not quite as distinct as like Mike Patton or Devin Townsend's or Kim from 12 Foot Ninja, but like they're very distinct stylings and sounds that he's able to do. And he alternates quite easily between these throughout the songs, which I think like is almost like the major focal point of the album, which of course, if you're gonna have Halford, that's gonna be your focal point. But I feel like that's even more so here.
I can't believe they made an album for 2,000 pounds. They're like, what is it saying here? They ate one meal a day. One of them's gardening. One's driving a delivery van. You know, they thought they were going to the studio just to make a rock album, and then this happened. So the backstory is, as per usual, with a lot of these fans, pretty, it's all over the place. They haven't figured out what they wanted to wear yet. Like, that's all in process. So this is Embryonic Priest, which is going to be the name of my cover band that does exclusively 70 songs.
It's about 20% less leather than the normal Judas Priest.
Yeah, they hadn't gotten there yet. They're wearing pink satin tops that he said he borrowed from his sister. So, you know, they're figuring it out. But it was cool. It was in terms of metal history, like when we listened to Rainbow, or I was like, okay, all right, I see what's happening here. That was, I appreciated that part. And I just like Rob Halford's voice. As Gabe said, he's formidable. There's some scary shit on here in terms of lyrics. Damn, son.
Yeah.
I see what Scotty is saying in terms of just the, I mean, there's some of that obviously on Sabbath too, but this is beginning lyrically at least to head towards extreme metal territory, which I'm cool with.
Yeah. I feel like, I know in previous Priest albums we talked about it, especially before he came out, that he had a lot of songs in his albums that kind of like hinted at his orientation. But I feel like there might be like one song on here that kind of touches up, but I feel like for the most part, this is much more Slayer-esque almost in its stylings of songwriting. It's like, let's look at the horror of the world and kind of play in that field instead of the couple of the areas they have.
Yeah, but they haven't gone full leather bar yet. So whether it's visual stylings or innuendo, yeah, it's not that he's quite here yet. He was figuring himself out. He was young at this point. When was he born? I'm a look. When were you born, Rob Halford? It's 51, so... I was thinking I'm 23 or whatever, no, 25 rather.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a tiny baby.
I mean, I think it's, you know, pretty impressive that there are, not to jump ahead to songs, but that there are several tracks from the second album that still get played live.
Uh-huh.
In a much more turbo-ized, no pun intended, fashion. But, you know, this, as we've all said, and I don't feel the need to keep harping back to it, but this is, before what canonically was metal was set in, it's kind of amazing if you think about it, because the guitar tonality on this, which, you know, Tipton and Downing are very good guitar players. I really liked their sound, but it is about as far away from Tony Iommi sound as you can get. And there's a million reasons for that, not the least of which they'll have to be tuned to play because of an injury like Tony Iommi. Also the fact that there's two guitars instead of one. But so yeah, just a very interesting time capsule from late 70s before any of us were alive metal.
True that.
But I mean, it's even here early on. I mean, you're still getting a lot of like, this is a heavy metal as fuck album cover, just to put it out there. Like, that is.
It is.
I mean, is that supposed to be Lucifer? I mean,
yeah, some angel. It's not going well.
In hell? I'm just going, what's this called? Lucifer.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Sure. I mean,
the fall of the chosen one. But yeah, I mean, no, and you can still see, like, because, and it's kind of a nice little area. You see all these things in which the albums that we've talked about that kind of build up this sort of middle of, it's a very common theme of, like, you're able, especially coming back and looking at the historiography of it, or the hagiography of it, of just the elements that are there that lead to further practices, especially with the new wave of British heavy metal, which we'll talk about here in a little bit, but also thrash out of the Bay Area and just everything that this all just leads up to. Because, like, when we looked at Widely to the Nations by Diamond Head, the AC/DC, Rainbow, like, just all these little sprinkles there that turn it, are these kernels that develop into the genre that we all know and love. And it's real interesting kind of coming back from those, looking at the hindsight 2020, like, goggles on.
I'm sorry, I'm looking at it. David Mustaine relates that his brother-in-law punched him in the face for listening to Sad Wings of Destiny. Mustaine called this a turning point where he chose heavy metal career as a career for revenge.
I mean, I don't know that any person that any of us know has lived their life more out of spite than Dave Mustaine.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. Oh, man.
Maybe Henry Rollins.
Yeah.
that's pretty much it.
I mean, a liar.
Dave Mustaine's musical career is just the creation of a supervillain in any comic book story.
Yeah. You got any other thoughts on this album, Gabe? You've been a little quiet.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know the discography all that well, but for me, as someone who's listened to four of their albums now, I think I like the later stuff better. It may just be because I'm generally more drawn to 80s stuff, or that it's more in the extreme metal vein than this is at all, that I feel more drawn to it. There are definitely some things about this record I can appreciate, not least of all, like I said, the vocals. And I mean, I think that's really it. I mean, I was kind of surprised at how diverse it was, to be honest. Like, the fact that it's sort of like this, you know, AC/DC, Led Zeppelin, Queen, like, melange instead of just like the hard rock stuff. Like, I was expecting the hard rock stuff.
Like, isn't Painkiller the turn to where they really dialed up to 11 in terms of speed?
Yeah, but sure. I mean, you know, we're still 4 years and probably three albums from that.
Like 14 years. Painkiller is 90.
Oh, I was thinking of British Steel.
Yeah,
I think British Steel already is faster than this. Though Painkiller allegedly is an updated version of the same Angel. That's his claim, so there's continuity there. Yeah, I think they've already amped it up. I mean, not to the degree they have by 1990, but they've already amped it up by British Steel and figured out they're playing metal and are wearing leather and spikes.
Yeah.
And lasers.
They've embraced their destiny.
Yeah. Yep, yep. Yeah, I like Gabe. I was a little surprised at the diversity of this. I was like, okay. But 76, y'all.
Yeah.
We weren't even alive, not even the old ones, the ancient ones.
Yeah, not even us. We're quite this old. Yeah, I guess let us talk about some songs.
Yeah, let us.
Engineer. I will go first since I picked it. There's a lot on here I like. Victim of Changes is a very weird opener in that it, like, attempts to be Led Zeppelin, but it also doesn't attempt to be Led Zeppelin. And I think it's okay. But really, the stuff for me that really stands out are the stuff that I hear them, or at least I've heard Halford do live. So The Ripper, Tyrant, Genocide,
uh-huh.
I mean, all of those, I think, are, you know, were primed for beefing up and becoming more stereotypical metallic as opposed to what they are here. And it's not that I think Dreamer, Deceiver, and Deceiver are bad, or any of the others are necessarily bad. I just, you know, again, this is kind of stylistically all over the place, and some of these I like more than others.
My list would be very similar. I might throw in Island of Domination, the Britain story. Anyway, too soon. Anyway, I think it's a pretty good closer. But yeah, it's all over the place. They're allowed to fuck around. They were like driving delivery vans and had $10. So
yeah,
which, yeah, there's a reason, as you say, Ben, they're still playing The Ripper and Tyrant Genocide.
So. Yeah, for me, I really like the first four tracks: Victims of Change, Ripper, Dreamer, Deceiver, and Deceiver. And I like Island Domination. Those were the five I pulled off this for myself. So I really enjoy those. It's kind of weird because I also haven't heard them live and I haven't seen the performances of Tyrant and Genocide on here live. So I don't quite have that attachment to it. I think you guys have, that might be where the difference is.
Yeah, I'm sort of on the same page as Tracy. I think that side A is just really cool. And I'm not as drawn, actually. I mean, Tyrant is a decent song, and Genocide is also a decent song, but I feel like it could pass as some other band. Like, it just doesn't register for me as, like, particularly Judas Priest, even if they do play it now, and even if that is kind of, like, you know, something they draw on at their concerts. Like, side A just works. It flows really well. And some of the stuff on this on side B just doesn't belong. I mean, it's just, it's like, cool, you can write, something that sounds like classical music, but like, what is it doing there? It's not a prelude to anything in particular, right?
And that epitaph is also like, what? But you know, but the darkness. Anyway, I don't know. You know how Ben and I are lyrically. I think we care a bit more about lyrics and the darkness. But it sounds like we all like something. So
I actually saw, you know, I saw before we did all this, I watched a performance of Dreamer Deceiver on YouTube, which I thought was really impressive. You know, I thought it was really great. I think, you know, probably nobody cares about that song among Judas Priest fans today, but like, it's a really cool song.
Yeah, maybe like the old dudes, the older than us, they might, but you're probably right.
You know, the writing on the song is a little more balanced than the next album we're going to review. In terms of who gets to actually do anything, but we'll get to Mr. Harris in a moment. It happens.
It does happen. Actually, I think it's probably about time to go. Tracy, yep. You got anything else you want to add?
Nothing else for me. Other, I guess we'll just go ahead and dive into the next album. It's kind of nice how this is lining up too, because it's in chronological order of release as well.
I know.
With how we're doing.
Inadvertently, but I know. It's like, oh, these are going in chronological order.
Yeah. And that is Iron Maiden's debut album, Killers. Oh, wait, you're right. Second. Look at me being a schlub.
Yes. Numero dos. Released on February 2nd, 1981, recorded at the Battery in London, 38 minutes and 18 seconds, released on EMI, Martin Birch. This is the first album of theirs that he will produce. Definitely not going to be the last.
No doubt.
My
God. But eventually they'll be in the Bahamas together, just spending hundreds of thousands of dollars.
It all paid off in the end.
It did. The band at the time of recording was Paul Di'Anno on vocals, Dave Murray on guitars, Adrian Smith on guitar, Steve Harris on bass, and Cliff Burr on drums.
Uh-huh.
The last Paul Di'Anno album, we should mention.
Alcohol, cocaine are a hell of a drug.
Too much cocaine.
Too much cocaine. I do want to give a shout out to Eddie's first appearance as Eddie, because on the previous album, he looks like just a crack whore.
Yeah.
So that's something. So Eddie's starting. I picked this because we had not done any of the Paul Di'Anno albums, and it is in fact old, having been recorded in 1980 and released in 81.
Yeah.
And I like some songs on here. Iron Maiden is okay, the self-titled one, but I liked this one. Okay, I used to listen to this back in the day. So I thought we needed to go to the pre-Dickinson era on an adventure.
Yeah, and this one, it feels like everything's there except for the vocalists. Like, I feel like
it's not totally Iron Maiden. It's definitely
serious. Yeah.
You can bloop, 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 bloop.
I mean, I was about to say, there's a reason for that, Tracy.
Because Steve Harris. Just
yeah. But you know, that lineup lasts for a while. I mean, it's the same lineup under the vocals for the next couple. Because I think the Trooper has only changed drummers. I think so. That's what I meant. Yes, the Trooper's on Peace of Mind. Because, Cliff Burr's still on Number of the Beast.
Yeah.
Yep. But, you know, had anyone else listened to this album besides me? Probably been a little bit.
Yeah.
But,
no, I believe I'd heard it previously.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think, I never spent significant time with it.
You told me to pick something. You said old school, so I picked this.
Yeah. I mean, hey, you, like I said, everybody achieved past flying covers on their homework tonight.
I was 4 when this album was released.
I was 0. Yeah, I was not quite 5 yet. I was still 4.
It's nice knowing that I wasn't the only one not born by this time this album was released.
We'll all be born by the next one.
Yeah, hopefully. They're awfully young to be doing this podcast.
2019, we're like 3-year-olds.
Yeah.
Middle toddler. All right, so hit us. I feel like Ben was about to make a really flawless segue that we fucked up into giving stats.
No, the only thing I was going to say is that, like, I'd already given the stats, was that Harris wrote everything on this except for one song where Deano gets a writing credit, which is the title track.
You mean to tell me the one song that has a bass lead into it or a bass solo at the beginning of it, it's not the one that he didn't write?
Well, no, he wrote them all. So he wrote that one too. It's just Deano got some writing credits for some lyrics. Steve Harris apparently wrote the lyrics and everything else on all the rest of it, which is why it sounds so much like later Maiden. And, you know, this is similar to the Judas Priest thing, although not as many. Well, actually, probably more. Honestly, I was thinking of the Paul Deano Corpus. Bruce sings a lot of these live, or has. I don't know if they still do. So, I mean, this is, granted, whereas the last Judas Priest album was their second album, this was Iron Maiden's second album. Because there is not as much diversity in the writing room, this sounds more cohesive as an album.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think that's one of the advantages too of picking something like this versus, you know, later one of their albums. I also think that a great selling point of this record is that the songs are not very long, and they don't overstay their welcome whatsoever. I thought it was really fun. The instrumentals didn't bother me really so much, I think, as a result, just because it's not too long.
For sure. I actually like Genghis Khan. It's a cool sound.
It's a nice one. It's better than the opener.
Yeah. I agree with that.
You know, Paul is not Bruce Dickinson by any stretch, but he didn't suck. And it's like all the dudes who are 10 years older than me and David, but I know a lot of people who actually preferred him because of the punk energy that he brought. You know, and your mileage may vary. I am definitely in the camp of, if you can give me Bruce Dickinson, I will take Bruce Dickinson for sure. So I like his version of singing these songs better than I do Paul's, but there's nothing at all wrong with the vocal performance on this album.
Yeah, he does a passable job. And went on to do other shit after this, so.
Yeah, including spending time in jail for bilking the British government out of £45,000. But
who among us has not gone to jail in Britain for child evasion?
Yeah.
I haven't yet. It'll come eventually. Pick them up with money at some point.
They forget your secret chicken money in the Cayman Islands.
It's a pass through company to where I have a company that's, I'm the CEO of, that gets paid instead of me.
Pilgrim with two Y's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Steve Harris makes this such a cohesive thing with him just having his hand on everything. It's like, and it's just a flash towards the next four albums they write until, what is it? Seventh Son of a Seventh Son, the final, where he's like, I guess you guys can have a little fun and write stuff for
Jim. Only a little. And it's still Martin Birch the whole time.
Yeah. I mean, knowing this was the one without Bruce Dickinson, I was kind of hesitant coming back into it. It'd been a couple of years, especially since I heard it. And then now that coming to it, it's better than I was expecting to it to a degree, because I was expecting like horrible vocals.
While they're he's fine. He just did too much coke.
While they're serviceable, they are just singular and sound. Like, there's not very much change up here. Like we talked about in the previous album, Halford, just all the different things he's able to do. Yeah. This is very much, he sounds exactly the same from the first track through the third track, through the seventh track, through the tenth track. Like, it's just exactly the same style of vocal patterns.
I mean, do the line, do the time. I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, Halford is just like, he's just legendary in comparison to this guy. Like, it's just, you can't even, they're not even the same league.
That's like comparing the fastest dude in your high school to Usain Bolt, man. I mean, come on.
Right.
And I'm going to go ahead and say this. I think Paul was the second best vocalist of the four albums we listened to tonight.
I agree with that, too. I thought you were going to say the second best vocalist in Iron
Maiden. We're going to have words.
Well, yeah, that, too.
We're going to have the best vocalist in Iron
Maiden. Sorry, Gabe. I straight up, I was like, that's a good point, man. I mean, there is the one other one. Sorry, maybe you were going to say something less asinine than me and Dan.
No, I was just going to say we're going to have words later on. Because,
okay, well, we can do that.
Okay, let's do it. Let's have some words. Fight. Oh, wait, I'm in the fight.
We're not there yet. So.
Well, I will say, I think he's the third best vocalist. I think the one from Winner is just a little bit better, is better than him.
Can we agree he's the second best vocalist in Iron Maiden, though?
I feel like we're shitting on the one guy whose name I can't remember.
Blaze Blazingly? Blaze Blazy or whatever? Blaze
Bailey, that's who it was.
Blaze Bailey.
Blaze Blazy.
Blaze Blazingly. Glenn Barnes.
Yes. We'll have to do those albums because I cannot, other than Falling Down, I cannot remember what His Voice Sounds Like.
Yeah, it's not my favorite. He's my third, he's the third best vocalist of Iron Maiden.
You know what I mean, you know, oh, behind shit. Steve Harris singing back up.
We're making some progress here. I feel like it may be time to talk about songs, given we've had the stupid asshole face.
Since we just did a drive-by on Blaze Bailey for no reason.
He's pistol whipped by the ghost of Eddie Van Halen. Anyway, so I guess I should talk about songs because I did this to you. Ides of March is the weaker of the two instrumentals. But most of these songs are pretty fun. You know, I like Wrathchild, Murders of the Rue Morgue. A lot of British murder happening tonight. Killers is cool. The title track. I don't know. It's a fun album. I agree with Gabe. Just take the ride. It's only 38 minutes.
I'm into that.
Fire it out.
Yeah, this album moves quick. Take the ride, but if you want some standouts, Wrathchild, Murders of the Rue Morgue, Killers, Prodigal Son, and Purgatory.
I don't really have anything to add to that other than the fact that I love how he sang Wrathchild, so it sounded like he was saying the Rothschilds, and I was like, I'm here for that too.
Oh, man. I'll say all of them, but I think I will hit a favorite of mine that hasn't been mentioned yet, which is Innocent Exile. And I also like Drifter quite a bit, in addition to some of the ones that you mentioned.
It's a good closer. Steve Harris does that right now.
Yep. I mean, he's got his recipe down by album two.
Mm-hmm. He does. It's the first album they took to the U.S. Yeah. Thus beginning their reign of terror in America.
Indeed. All right. That brings us to Tracy's pick for the night.
Hellfire Mania from 2019.
Indeed, their third studio album, released on March 29th, 2019, on Riding Easy Records. It had a runtime of 47 minutes and 23 seconds. The band is Herman Mandala on bass, Tony Campos on guitars, Jake Nunn on vocals and guitars, and Mike Smith on drums. Not the Tony Campos who plays bass in a million bands, a different Tony Campos.
Just a clone.
Maybe. The recording, mixing, and mastering was done by Tim Green. But yeah, that's pretty much what we got.
So this is a newer band. It's not, we've moved into the traditional territory like of the genre that's kind of been coming back in a sense of where they're paying homage to the new wave of British heavy metal and early days of thrash with a little bit of like modern day technicalities thrown into it in a sense. I picked this album because I know 2019 was the year I noticed a lot of these albums hitting the ground running. And I was trying to think, I had a different one for a long time placed here. And I changed my mind. I was like, well, I like Hell. I like this album of the two more. So I changed it to this one. And this one is, I actually ranked number 25 from last year or from that year. And I was looking back at my rankings like, man, I don't think I'd rank this 25 or even close to 25 anymore. Because there's a lot of albums I've ranked after this that have come back and I've listened to a hell of a lot more than this one and enjoy more than this. And this one, while listening to it, is also probably the one where my opinions of it was the most inconsistent. Like, I'd hear it one time, like, oh, man, this is really good. I'd hear it one time, like, it's just okay. And I'd bounce back and forth between that quite a bit.
You think that was mood or? Maybe. You're usually pretty consistent. I mean, you're a spreadsheet human form. Like, what?
Yeah. Like, yeah, I think it was Moon and just kind of like how much time I could spend. It was like in the background. I don't think I know so much because honestly, we talked about the vocal so far. His is the worst voice of the four we've done tonight by far. And I think their guitar and stuff is working. But if I was doing something where it was more background and I wasn't paying much attention to it, I think it landed higher up on the scale. But when I actually listened to it and it's like, all right, more attention is paid onto it. So when the vocals become much more distracting instead of falling into mix and where it's just part of the music instead of pulling away from it.
I want to touch on what Tracy just said briefly because I'll come back to this later when I get my further thoughts on the album, but I just want to comment on the vocalist thing. I have read where he is described as sounding Dio-ish, and I will agree with that. It's like if somebody was playing a Dio song in the house that you're in, but you're a few rooms away, so it's not quite clear. But if you really pay attention to it, he's not in the same league as Ronnie James Dio. And I do agree that he's the worst of the four vocalists tonight. However, and I say this all the time when we're talking about these trad metal bands, that the vocalist lets them down. I don't think it was the vocalist that let them down in this case. I think it was the songwriting.
What about the songwriting did you not think it was good?
Specifically, it's the lyrics. I'll go ahead and say this. They do a really good job. And where I got this, I'll give credit to angrymetalguy.net or whatever, because I was like, who the fuck are these guys? And so I looked them up and I found the Angry Metal Guy review, and I didn't read it, but I read the little excerpt, and it talked about how they combine sounds of like Dio era Black Sabbath, early Metallica, and, you know, Iron Maiden / Judas Priest. And I thought that, and if you close your eyes and listen, you can hear all those elements, but the songs all sound like they're the filler tracks from albums from those bands. I don't think any of these songs are really that dynamic or catchy. And they are all decent songs that would make an album, but this is an album of just decent songs, in my opinion.
And I can kind of see and agree with you there, but I do think there are a couple of tracks on here that like really drew me out, that got stuck in my head, like Mania specifically. And I think that's also probably the one that's more the steep ones on this album as well, because that one feels very much Anthrax-esque to me compared to the other ones. Yeah, and I think the production values as well. And I think it may also, these guys might have $10 between the three or four of them and just kind of like, here you go, or between them to produce it. And it's in somebody's garage and they're kind of running together, you know? Like, I don't think they had, because I think this album would probably do really well if it had some production values to it.
In some ways, I have to sound a little better than Eliminator, though, actually. I don't think it's as well produced, but I don't know.
It's because of the thrash, isn't it?
It is. You read me out of the well. I was like, I kind of like that gritty thrashing. Yes, Kim, we've met. So
it doesn't have, the vocals aren't as wet on this as they are on
it. Yeah, I actually prefer this one a bit, actually. And I know the playing is maybe a little better and the songwriting is a hair better. Eliminator, I'm not talking about
it that. Listeners, it is much better. So it's better. don't even try, man. It's so much better. Are you kidding me?
But it was also slightly annoying. I don't know. None of these are quite my genre.
I wouldn't argue with that. I think it is a combination of the songwriting and the vocals. The vocals, like, I usually don't care about that stuff, but it was totally distracting. I can't deny that. There were a couple of tracks on this that were cool, but I think at the end of the day, if the songwriting is not, you know, top notch, if the production is kind of subpar, do you want to come back to it?
I mean, I'm just going to listen to Power Slave if I want.
I think I would have rather them been just like, you know, like a poor Maiden clone rather than a poor Maiden plus like early Metallica plus whatever clone.
Well, the interesting is, I know David asked about one of their, they released an album just like a couple of days ago. Mm-hmm. And they actually have production values in that from like the little snippets I've kind of thumbed through and stuff on it. And they, a lot of their sound is polished up, and I can kind of get the comparison to Dio hearing it when it's in a much more polished form. I think the production doesn't do them any justice on here.
I might check that out now. I'm just curious now.
I personally didn't think the production was terrible. I thought it was okay. I mean, maybe because we just listened to two albums from like 1976 and 1980.
Precisely. That's kind of what I thought. I was like, that's okay. Like, yeah.
So I'm not going to give them a whole lot of shit for that, but yeah, this is just like one of those. It's one of those things where it's like, okay, cool. I have to go to the term again, filler, because it just reminds me of the stuff that like you would put on a soundtrack. If you
is weren't. The tracks off Killers we didn't list.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it's the tracks off Killers we didn't list, and Justice for All we didn't list, Dehumanizer which we haven't even reviewed yet. It's like it's the third or fourth deepest out track from this album by this band you really, really know. Like, if I was going to do a documentary about any of those bands and I needed stock footage that I couldn't get the rights to of the actual band, I might hire these guys.
What did you say about Nothing Face? C-list? New metal band?
Tertiary.
Damn. Well, I mean, I guess this is, I don't even know if this is tertiary, to be honest, but that the comment applies here too. Yeah.
But I can see if you couldn't afford, you know, Metallica in your movie.
Well, I couldn't afford Metallica in my movie for sure.
Then you'll love Lashing Out.
And so it's, I think part of it, is this aspect of also that they are doing this traditional style that they kind of want to keep the ingredients to kind of pay homage to the style, but also it's detrimental. And you could see like why a lot of the bands have moved away from it, or like their bigger albums, they moved and gotten better production values as their career went on. When, you know, like Awaiting the Chapel or Hell Awaits compared to Rain and Blood, and just how they got the budget, like, hey, we can actually do better than what's here. It's a limitation. And I feel like trying to walk that line of like homage versus actual just funding for it, in a sense, I think can be kind of get tricky in these situations.
Well, one thing I'll give them credit for, and I might be completely wrong on this, so I might eat crow, is the fact that they appear to actually be a band and not just like one dude who's writing all this stuff and then just finding the players to come onto it with him.
Are you talking about Haunt?
Because I feel like you're talking about Haunt. I am talking about Haunt, maybe a little bit.
They're a full band now. That one, they
really, I thought you were talking about Iron Flame.
That one too.
Iron Flame. There's more than one.
But I think Iron Flame is a better overall band than Hellfire.
You mean a better overall solo project?
But yeah. Anybody else would like to add, or should we move on to tracks? This was My Poison. I go first. I pulled off here the run of the first three tracks, Warpath Mania, On the Loose. I really enjoy Born to Burn's okay. And I pulled off Transcending Evil. I think the back half of the album kind of falls off a bit, though. And we do kind of cross our craw hitting close to that 50-minute mark, unlike the previous 38-minute mark we'd hit with the Killers
and
Judas
long.
Priest.
It doesn't vary enough, I think, to be as long as it is.
Yeah.
It is kind of long. There were several album titles I liked. Most of the tracks did not live up to the album titles.
The period. Well, there you have it. I'm going to drink to that. I don't even know what that means. Not great. Oh, across the board.
It means none of them.
Let disappointment down the line.
It's how it is. It's not even, you did horrible. It's just disappointment. You could have done so much. You just didn't.
You know, I feel like one of them, you like them all because they're pretty similar. I mean, it's all right. I don't think I just like this album quite as much as it sounds like you all, including Tracy, who picked it.
Like, I don't dislike this album. Like, I don't dislike this album. At the worst, it's, and we'll see with Braids. I'll explain it in Braids.
Okay, that's right.
And he no longer feels it's the top 25 album 2019.
He's feeling some regret.
Yeah. Like, I think it would have made the list, but it would be closer in the 70-80 range and not the...
Jesus, that's a huge spike.
That's a, yeah, it's a big one. Well, I'll go ahead and say that there were a few tracks on here that I thought had potential. Mania has kind of like this interesting like King Diamond sort of vibe to it.
Totally.
Born to Burn. Like, the thing about the thrash is, like, I know I said that I wish they would just stick to like sort of the, you know, Iron Maiden worship, but with thrash, at least, you know, the vocals are much more like forgiving. It's easier to like do that. So Born to Burn is like kind of a cool song for them. And same with like Lashing Out.
Exactly.
Isolator, I think, is a decent example of songwriting for them, but the production and the sound just like suck on that track. And the guy sounds like the singer, he sounds like he's been singing all fucking day on that recording. Like, it's really like,
he probably had been.
He probably had been, but it shouldn't sound like it. So those were the tracks that I thought stood out in some way.
It's time to move on to the next album.
Dope.
And it is Gabe's pick, and they're out this year, so it's the brand newest of new albums, and it's Eliminator's Ancient Light.
Yep. Their second full-length studio, released on January 14th of this year, as Tracy said, on Dissonance Productions. The runtime is 56, oh, no, excuse me, that is not a 6, that is a 0, bad eyes. 50:38 runtime. The band is Jamie Brandon on bass, Dave Steen on drums, Jack McMichael on lead guitars, Thomas Matthew on rhythm guitars, Danny Foster on vocals, and Chris Fielding did the recording, mixing, and mastering. And why did you decide to pick this one, Gabe?
I thought it would be fun to just pick an album that was brand new for an old school theme. I mean, it fits. And it came recommended by one of the reviewers at Banger TV. And I listened to it a couple times earlier in the year when it came out, and I wasn't fully convinced by it, but also just because, like, I don't naturally gravitate toward this retro stuff. necessarily. Like if I'm going to listen to a new wave of British heavy metal, I'll try to listen to new wave of British heavy metal.
It's understandable, Gabe. Not everybody can do their Kirby impression like I can with music. Like, let's listen to it all and see what sticks.
Well, I mean, it's not necessarily that I can't listen to it all, but I mean, I think I tend to be drawn to stuff that's just, I don't know, either old or new, not new stuff that's old.
I'm in the same boat.
I mean, the other thing is, like, I would say it's like pretty decent Maiden worship, and the guy does a you know, much better Bruce Dickinson impression than the guy in the last band does. So it has that going for it. But as Dave was saying, it's also kind of annoying, like, because all the, like, the melody lines are all like, and it's like, you're kind of like, I'm kind of over this, but and Ben's also like, the songs are too fucking long. I'm already taking away all your lines.
That's okay. You can do them for me and I'll just sit here and drink. It'll be all right.
You know what? If you don't come with traditional metal and you don't hear the dee-dee-dee-dee-dee, you're in it for the wrong reasons.
That's true. I mean, like, if you come to, like, you know, Senjutsu and you don't want to hear the dee-dee-dees, you're in, like, the wrong place.
Yeah.
For sure.
I think that the playing on this album is actually pretty good. I actually like their guitar tone better than I liked the guitar tone of Hellfire. I will disagree with you on the vocalist, primarily just because he was using an effect. I'm not sure that it was reverb. It reminded me of reverb. That's why I said the wet thing. And I found it to be incredibly distracting.
Me too.
Which I guess, you know, if you're going to do a Bruce Dickinson impersonation and you aren't the best Bruce Dickinson impersonator, that's one way to help you get there. Again, there were a lot of good ideas. And I think the songwriting on this is better than what was on Hellfire. But considering what I said about Hellfire, I'm not sure that that's a low bar theater, I guess. But conversely, and it's slightly unfair because this is only their second album, whereas Hellfire is their third, I do see more potential for me possibly liking this band once they form their own identity more than I think I would Hellfire.
Yeah, I think to kind of go back to vocals, his voice reminds me a lot of the guy from Paladin, Taylor Washington, when we covered them, because there was a lot of times like, is this the same guy? And you look at him like, oh, it's not. And it's just like, that's who it reminded me a lot of, is similar style where it's very heavy Bruce Dickinson worship, but there's just a bit of a different twist onto it that it's not just blatant, like, I'm going to do it because Dickinson does it.
It is more power metal-y. You're right about that.
It's power metal-y. The thing that, you know, I said this about power metal, and I'll say this about tri metal that's trying to be power metal. You know, vocals can make or break it. And I know it sounds like the rest of you prefer Jamie Brandon to the Hellfire vocalist, but I don't know. I think if he sounded almost too much like Bruce Dickinson, but he wasn't making it. Like, and so between that and that, whatever effect Ben was talking about, he's not terrible. He's certainly a better metal vocalist than I am. But sorry, Jamie Brandon, don't kick my ass. But I don't know. I did find it distracting. I found it actually the weakest of the four for me.
No, I agree with you on that as far as
vocals go. I thought his was the second best vocals of the night.
It's because you're a coward.
I don't back or shy away from imitation. Oh, you're trying, but you're not quite? Okay, cool. You're doing a lot fucking better job than I am.
It's because you're a manager, man. You just gotta, like, well, you almost did the right thing. So
you're good enough for government work. Yeah. We can make this work. Just keep doing what you're doing, we'll be fine.
That's manager talk, yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, I thought his vocals were all right. If anything, I think the guitar playing might be the weakest we had of all night, and the guitar playing on here is actually, because it's a little more subdued. It's not quite as fast. I think it missed a little bit of the blisteringness that the other three albums were able to pull up at times. Iron Maiden is the really one that we did it the entire time. But I think this album is serviceable enough. I liked it quite a bit, actually. But also, I'm in the bag for this power metal dread shit, and you guys can get over it. they know their audience, and that audience is one.
Tracy, it's a picture of you on the album cover.
Yeah,
that picture I sent you guys on Twitter from high school.
I was looking at that earlier today. My daughter was like, "Who's that?" I'm like, "That's Tracy." She's like, "No, all that hair." And I'm like, "Yep." It's in my favorites folder, just in case, Tracy, next to the picture of Ben with his.
Just like, have you seen Tracy in high school? This is a picture of him.
Football Tracy.
I enjoyed this album. I'm going to actually, right now, it is on my end of year list to at least to come back to in at least rank at some point.
I mean, it's on my end of year list too, but that's because I put everything I listen to on the list.
It's like school attendance. It's mandatory, so you don't get a prize.
He don't know truancy issues.
Yeah. Gabe, do you have anything else to say about songwriting? Because I think you preferred it.
I think I just had less of a problem with the songwriting on this album than I did on the previous one. Mm-hmm. And that may just because it seemed just also just more confident and better executed. Like, not they stayed in their wheelhouse pretty much. They weren't jumping around doing, you know, thrash and other stuff. They stayed right in that sweet spot, I think, for them. It was like, I mean, I think that I also just think that like the experience of listening to the album was more engaging, all reverb aside. It was not really an assault on the senses in the same way as the, but maybe that's just me.
There were moments in this album that reminded me a lot of Unto Others and kind of like the little bit of like slower subduedness it had there compared to, especially coming off the three albums prior to this, there were moments like, huh, this could almost make an Unto Others song. Should we move on to tracks?
Yeah, let's do it.
Certainly.
Dave, what you got for us?
All of them. I will tell you which ones that I liked, which is quite a few of them. I liked Silent Stone, Ancient Light, The Sculptor and the Stone Lady, Lord of Sleep, Dream Master, and Foreverless.
I like quite a bit on here as well. I pulled off Silent Stone, Goddess of Life. I'm trying to look at these in album order. The Sculptor and the Stone Lady, The Nightmare of Aeon, Arrival Forever West, The Library.
The Solemn was all right. I thought Mercy was a pretty good song. I don't know if Gabe mentioned that. I don't think so. I didn't know it did.
I did not. I found that chorus to be very annoying.
I'm not a fan of his vocals in general, but, you know, I at least appreciate the buildup of his, you know, getting more desperate each time. You know, it's okay. If I were to listen to this, I would just pop it on. So, fire it up. Pretend it was 1982, but it's not.
None of them.
It's one of those nights.
It's we're turning into the D plus rodeo. I can see
it's D plus rodeo. The thing is Gabe is, or excuse me, Ben is drinking beer, so he can just keep saying shit like that and just destroy.
There's no consequences.
I'm embracing my Wisconsin identity and drinking
that Lyman Kugel. What are you?
It's actually the Beast.
Yeah, it is not, but
it could be.
It could be
the Beast. Oh my God!
Some PBR. I get the true hipster that I am.
The Walkie's Best.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, gentlemen. We ready for grades or?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
All right. Judas Priest, Sad Wings of Destiny.
I picked it. I got to go first, huh? This is going to include a legacy bump, but I'm going to give it a B+ because the tracks on there that I really like the album, which corresponds with it being a B+. But there are only so many tracks on it that I really think are approaching metal, even for the time. So it is an important album. It's a good album on top of that, but it's just not, I mean, they, oh God, I mean, you know, British Steel and blows it away. So it's a B+.
I agree with every word of that, including Legacy Bump, and some tracks are really good and some are not metal, but I'm going to come in at a B. It's so cool. I'm glad I listened to it, but it's a B for me. It's a hair lower than Ben.
I'm going to come in a bit lower than Ben. I don't quite have the legacy with us. I don't have the legacy with them at all. It's all right. I had moments when I think we're good. Some moments are okay. I'm going to give this a B-.
I'm right there with Tracy. This is not the best Judas Priest album I've ever heard. But I think that Side A is brilliant.
That gives us an average of 84.
That's cool.
Would you buy this album? I think it's the baddest artwork.
I might. I mean, I wouldn't immediately. Maybe if I found it in the sale bin. I don't know. It's I don't think I'd pay full price for it, but I might. It's important.
Yeah, I would probably buy a used. I mean, I did own a copy at one point. I don't know that I would own another copy. The collector in me says you like Judas Priest enough, and Judas Priest has enough good albums, but they got a long ass discography, and I just don't know that I want to get everything.
And it's one of those, if you want to listen to Judas Priest, you can listen to something else.
Probably. But I'm glad we did it.
Yeah. Iron Maiden Killers, David.
You know, it's fun. I like it. It isn't Bruce Dickinson. And I need room to go up from here. I'm going to give this a B also, but I'm going to go one up to an A6. So it's an A6 for me. It's a good shit.
I think I'm going to go a little bit higher than that, just because it's just a pretty enjoyable listening experience. I'm going to give it an A-.
Hell yeah.
I'm going to come in between Gabe and David, because I do think that, and give it a B+, because it is coherently enough Iron Maiden and has that consistency all the way through the album in a way that Judas Priest really didn't. Which will bump it up to a B+ for me.
I'm right there with David. I don't, it's not Bruce Dickinson, but I think it's a solid enough serviceable album. I'm going to give it a B as well, an 85. I think this is one that probably everybody needs to listen to at some point, but I don't think it's, there's better Iron Maiden albums out there, especially the three that come right after this album. Yeah. So
I'll take it. Sounds like it's going to be a high B average.
An average of 88.
It's a B plus. That's solid. Two.
Would you buy it?
I did.
Hell's
yeah. Yeah, I have.
I have a copy of this. So I guess, I guess so.
I might, I don't know, like the iconic album artwork for this album is like, get it for that, because that is an iconic album cover.
It's tight.
My album's next, Hellfire Mania. So with this one, at Mother Moments I'd hear, and like, it's a C. Like, why did I pick this album? Why did I rate it so high that year? And then there are moments I'd hear, like, it's easily a B+. I don't know where I'd put it. So I'm going to actually land in the middle of this. I'm going to give it a B- at 80.
I'm going to come in and put it at a B- as well. I did not find it as annoying because of thrash, I think. I'm going to give this also a B-. Give an 81. Beat Tracy's own album by a point. Just fuck with it.
I think that, Tracy, your impulse when you say that this is a C album is correct. So I'm going to give this a C-.
Oh, my God. C- Romeo. Mm-hmm. The Rodeo of Mediocrity, which is also a Dave Mustaine EP.
Yeah, it's
nice. Well, I'm gonna come in just below David and Tracy with a C+. This is for ultimate fans
with a D+.
I totally thought he was like, I'm gonna come in below Ben. I was like, oh shit.
No, I was expecting it.
C+ makes sense.
Yeah,
pretty hardcore fans. I get you, Gabe. I get your vibe.
So that gives us an average of 78. Would you buy this album, gentlemen? I would have bought it in 2019. I wouldn't now.
That's fine. You're entitled to change your mind.
Yeah, I don't think I'd buy it.
Nor would I.
Ancient Light by Eliminator. Gabe?
So
set the standard.
I like listening to the album. I think it's more enjoyable than maybe some other kind of trad stuff that I've heard that's new. I would give it a B+. That's not to say it's going to be my top albums of the year by any stretch of the imagination, but I mean, it's pretty good.
Yeah. And you've already mentioned how your top albums of the year is quite cavernous in a sense.
Well, I'm trying to prevent that. So,
and I'll show you, if you wanted to play in the cavern, play in the cavern, but don't worry. I'll be there. Probably. It may not be my top 25 when we do our end of the year wake that episode, but it'll probably be on the list somewhere. I'm going to give this a B+ as well at an 88.
Nice. Nice.
I'm going to come in lower. I mean, I was low as F. Holster over there. I'm going to give us a high C+ at 79. That's where I'm going to put this. It's all right. It's only one letter grade lower than you guys. It could be worse. As you heard the reasons, so I found it slightly annoying.
Well, I'm not reaching for the Holster because I don't think this should be failed. I honestly, it's a coin flip between this and Hellfire, because neither one of them had any tracks that really stood out to me. I like the guitar tone on this one, but I found the singer to be slightly more annoying. So I'm going to give this a C- as well.
All right.
Put it, Tracy.
All right, indeed. That gives us an average of an 82.
Sorry.
Yep. Would you buy, gentlemen?
9.
I think I would.
Yeah, I don't think I would, because I just, it's hard to imagine wanting to listen to it over and over again.
Yeah.
Yeah, once definitely enough.
All righty. Well, that brings our old school cool to an end. I think we all achieved the goal somewhat. Were they great albums? They were okay albums. Which is,
yeah,
they're definitely okay albums.
You look overall. It up in a dictionary, man. They're all albums.
They're all albums. Certified album.
They are.
We've had worse nights. We've had better nights. Trust me.
We have. Indeed. At least this wasn't Guar full. 4 hours of Guar was back to back to back to back.
You watch what you say. But you're going to get one more of that in December.
So. I know.
Speaking of things that are going to happen to you later, Tracy, what are we doing next?
Next, we are doing Dave's pick for the grab bag, and he left us a very broad but very specific definition in choice, and it is Scandinavian metal.
I've heard of this Scandinavia.
Looking at what we've got there, looks like some interesting picks are coming up.
It's going to get heavy, guys.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm gonna bring the heaviness down a little bit. We all know that's gonna happen, but don't worry, Gabe's gonna end it with a bang.
Yeah. Don't forget your helmet, man. Don't forget your headgear.
You're going into a war zone for the first two albums, though.
Keep all extremities inside the cart at all times.
Indeed, it's good advice.
Just lose
or not. Just lose your limbs.
That's fine.
That's the most metal. Just lose them.
Listen, at your own risk. Sign the pain waiver before you go.
Exactly.
With what arm?
Pain waiver would be a good album title.
It really was. We are pain waiver from Murray, Kentucky. Yeah. Are you ready to rock? On Thunderdome, Metal Reviews.